This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Now, this is the only car on the market that comes equipped with a Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovasculator, which is synchromeshed with a multi-coil hydrotension duo vacuum dynamometer. Gosh, what does that do for the car? It empties the ashtray.
Taxi, taxi, take me anywhere. Take me anywhere. Gonna ride all night and even pay my fare.
It's Sunday night, and you're tuned into WOR 710. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. And we're still here with Frank.
I let the music play on.
Yes.
Hi, David.
Taxi,
how are you?
Taxi. Me, I'm fantastic, except a little conversation I overheard today. Today was Vive Boricua. It was a Puerto Rican Day parade in Manhattan. And on 59th Street and 6th Avenue, there are a lot of these pedicab drivers, and they're looking to hook tourists. Now, tourism in New York City is at all-time highs. A few years ago, they were hoping to hit 50 million tourists, and now we're over 50 million, and a lot of people like to take horse and buggy rides through Central Park, and yes, there's a big fight, should the horses stay, should the horses grow, go, they grow too, they grow old, you know, is it animal cruelty, is it one of the nice things about New York, are the horses, how are the horses treated, etc. So, there's this older couple saying to each other, you know, oh, let's cross the street and take a hansom cab ride through the park. And this pedicab driver says, oh, why are you doing that? I'll give you a tour through the park. This is much better, you know? And it's much cheaper. I said, much cheaper? I said, how much is your ride? Oh, it doesn't cost that much. I said, well, what does it cost? He says, it doesn't cost that much. I said, pull that thing off the side. $3.75 a minute. I said, so I just want you folks to know that that's about $225. $225 for an hour. Okay? It's not going to cost you that much if you take a hansom cab, a horse and buggy through Central Park. And the guy told me to mind my effing business. I said, mind my effing business. It's people like you that give New York City a bad name. Now, what you really have to know, folks, is there's laws in place. These vehicles, you know, I wish they were vehicles with license plates. These pedicabs, you know, the tricycles that carry your children without fenders and without reinforced steel, they have to have insurance. They have to have signals. They're not allowed to be have electric motors, although a lot of them do have electric motors. You know, the driver is supposed to be vetted somehow. Well, for the first 4.5 months of 2015, not one summons has been written by NYPD to a pedicab driver or a pedicab owner. Not one. As of May 15th, not one ticket. How about yellow cabs? You think any tickets have been written to yellow cab drivers from January 1st to May 15th? How about for-hire vehicle drivers, black car drivers, livery drivers, car service drivers? Not one summons to these guys who are ripping people off in front of people? Now, Police Commissioner Bratton said that the lack of regulation in the rickshaw business makes his head spin, and he believes it's even harder to enforce murky laws. And a quote from him said, "I spent 3 hours with the city's top attorney on this stuff, and I came out totally confused. So how do you expect a cop in the field that doesn't have the hours to sit and ask questions to go out and enforce these laws that we have?" Bratton says politicians have to figure a way to streamline the laws so cops can enforce it. Can enforce it. It should be a primary focus. Those pedicabs in the streets, blocking traffic, ripping off people. Come on, we don't need to start, you know, with bad news the beginning of the year. Get these criminals in jail. Give them summonses at least. Overcharging, something. And that's what I'm upset about today. Hey, Frank, have you had any experience with a pedicab?
First, I won't take one because I feel they're unsafe. And I've seen, obviously, you're in the city, you're in Midtown, you're here, you're there, maybe you're in for dinner on the weekend. They're around. I won't take one. I don't feel safe. They are darting in and out and in between cars trying to get people to go on board and go for a ride. I really want no part of it. And you would think that the price control would be the easiest thing for them to enforce. I can understand maybe a little bit of ambiguity and a little bit of gray as to where these guys fall in, but you would think they would start with, let's protect tourism, let's protect, you know, the consumer first, and let's get the pricing under control and not let these guys charge you, you know, three whatever, you know, per mile or whatever.
Well, $3.75 a minute, you know, they're saying that's a fair rate because the law say all you have to do is post your rates. So if you take a 10-minute ride in a pedicab, 10 minutes, it's $37.50. Now, what's interesting is there's a quote here that told the New York Post that a driver tried to charge a lady $200 to go from 59th Street and 6th Avenue to the Sheraton Hotel on 53rd Street and 7th Avenue. That's six blocks down and one block across, about 5 minutes. $200. And nobody is doing anything about these bloodsuckers. It's aggravating. As a New Yorker, as a human being, and for somebody who loves New York. If you love New York, you don't want people getting ripped off. Could be your grandparents. Okay, we'll have the taxi bingo. Thousands more city bikes coming. Will there be federal money for local bridges? The city gives up on policing pedicabs, which we just discussed. And somebody may have a $3 billion surplus. How about that? Hey, Frank, you weren't at Coney Island yesterday, were you, on the on the Cyclone roller coaster?
No, I was not. I was nowhere near it.
Oh, you heard what happened, right?
No, I'm waiting for you to tell me. Come on. I'm hanging on your every word. Let's go.
Well, lucky they have checks and balances for safety on the Cyclone. Because when I used to go on the Cyclone, it was just a free ride, man. You know, there was nothing holding that thing on the tracks. Got stuck at the crescendo, at the zenith, at the peak, at the mountain. Got stuck. Everybody had to get off and walk down from the top of the Cyclone yesterday. It's transportation, folks. What can I tell you? We will be speaking with Dana Rubenstein from Capital New York, and I'll tell you a little bit about her. She's also written for the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Very good journalist. There's a lot of stuff going on up in Albany, and at the city council, we'll talk to her about some of the stuff there. But what people may be interested in is there was a lot of talk this week about the best places and the worst places to retire in the United States. Okay? And I guess we'll have some fun with that a little later in the show. But as I was saying, my next guest is Dana Rubenstein. And Dana is a senior reporter at Capital New York. You know, she writes about many of the critical issues that affect New York City, including transportation, which we'll get to in a minute. She's also written, as I just said, for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and some other papers, you know, The Observer. She's one of the finest journalists that we have covering issues in New York City and up in Albany. And Dana Rubenstein, we're glad to have you on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for the nice words.
Okay. You know, we're in the heart of budget season here in New York City, and the legislative session up in Albany is coming to a head. I think June 17th is the last day of the session, unless they get delayed.
Right.
And one of the big issues is MTA funding, something you've done a couple of stories on.
Right, right. So the MTA has a five-year capital plan, you know, a program to keep the system, all the subways and buses, bridges and tunnels in a state of good repair, but also sort of improve them where they can, and it costs $32 billion, and they're $14 billion short, and Albany has yet to say whether they're going to fill that gap or, you know, if they are, how. And it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen by the end of session.
But didn't Albany already approve, like, $1 billion for the MTA for this year?
The governor allocated $1 billion, right. So he reduced the size of the gap from $15 billion to $14 billion.
And
but it's still $14 billion.
And didn't Bill de Blasio also make a donation to the MTA as
well? He did. You know, he made a donation. They asked him. The city actually contributes surprisingly little to the MTA's capital plan, given that most of it's located in New York City. But, yeah, they asked him to contribute another $25 million a year, and he agreed to. So he's, you know, he did what they asked of him.
So New York City alone has its own bridges, 160 of them, but you just said that the MTA wants money to help repair their bridges and tunnels. Are those
right? Yeah, so I, you know, some of them are controlled by the MTA and some of them are controlled by city DOT.
I guess the ones that we pay for are MTA or Port Authority, right?
I think so. Not sure. I'm not much of a driver.
Okay, so you don't think the governor's going to do anything between now and the end of session?
Doesn't seem like, no. And, you know, I think the most advocates are hoping for now is that there'll be some sort of, he'll call a special session later this year, and maybe he'll take care of it. But, you know, I think hopes are not high.
You know, I can't take $14 billion. I can't accept that. I mean, how does the MTA arrive at a $14 billion shortfall? And let's face it, this is a five-year plan. So they already have the rest of the money. They said it was $32 billion. Now they need 14, and they have 5 years to collect it. But, you know, why is it that much?
Well, the argument they make is that they have an asset that's worth $1 trillion. And, you know, if you have a $1 trillion asset, or any asset, you're supposed to spend X percentage per year keeping it up. And so they argue that $32 billion over 5 years is actually less than what they require to maintain a good system, that it's, you know, that they're lowballing it. But they do, you know, they don't have a terribly huge amount of credibility on some of this stuff because they have capital projects that routinely go over budget. So it's, you know, it's a difficult issue.
And all their finances are so transparent.
they're relatively transparent.
Everything is relative. So, you know, what are some of the major ideas being floated around to help the MTA? I mean, one big thing in New York City is Move New York.
Right, right. So it's basically a new iteration of congestion pricing. The last time, as I'm sure you recall, that was tried was during the Bloomberg era, and that failed in Albany. So this is a different plan in the sense that it gives something back to the outer boroughs. So it would put tolls on the East River bridges, but it would lower tolls in between boroughs. And so it actually has a surprising amount of support in the outer boroughs in a way that Bloomberg's plan did not. But nevertheless, it has no champion in Albany. There's no, you know, Mayor Bill de Blasio hasn't taken a position on it, so it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere.
Okay, we're speaking with Dana Rubenstein from Capital New York, one of the best reporters in New York City who reports in New York City and New York State. So is there any more discussion about a millionaire's tax?
For transportation?
For transportation.
There was a brief, very brief idea that was floated by Assemblyman Jim Brennan to institute a tax on the wealthy. And, you know, the money would go into some sort of lockbox to fund transportation. But that was just a blip. That's nowhere.
And has there been any talk about a gasoline tax?
There's been talk about the gasoline tax, about, you know, a vehicle miles travel tax. There are all sorts of ideas out there, and there are a lot of examples around the country for ways you could fill this gap, but none of them have gone anywhere in Albany because there doesn't seem to be any appetite in Albany for tackling this issue. Yeah, so, you know.
They don't have an appetite for a lot of things this year.
Yeah, it seems like very little is going to get done this year at all.
Yeah, just a couple of changes up there the last few months, huh?
Right, just a couple. Yeah.
So if the MTA doesn't get their $14 billion, do you think there'll be immediate cuts to MTA projects or MTA service?
Not immediately, but I think it means that they'll have to eliminate certain plans. So, you know, I think they'll have to stop planning to extend the Second Avenue subway up to 125th Street, which is the sort of second phase of the Second Avenue subway project. I don't think we'll get a new fare payment system. They want to replace the MetroCard because it's obsolete and, you know, the system is old, and I don't think they'll be able to do that. You know, they've been rolling out countdown clocks across the system, and they won't be able to do that. So, I mean, a lot of things that sort of would improve the system, they won't be able to do.
You know, but recently the IBO reported that the MTA still has a lot of money left over from its last capital budget. So what's going on here?
Right. Well, it's more that they're slow in spending it because they, you know, it takes them a long time to get capital projects done. They're often delayed. So I don't think you'll see immediate repercussions. But to the extent that you need to plan projects, you know, to plan a second phase of the Second Avenue subway is a really huge endeavor. It takes years, and to the extent that you delay that, you delay the ultimate completion of that project even further.
Okay, our phone number here is 800-321-0710. If you have any calls related to the MTA, we do have Dana Rubenstein with us right now. I just want to go off topic for a little bit here. You wrote an article, The Blasio Hopes for Patriot Act-Style Infrastructure Consensus. And he was hoping for a long-term transportation funding bill similar to the Patriot Act, what happened with the Patriot Act. What's that all about?
Oh, he's been doing a lot of national advocacy for transportation funding, for some sort of long-term highway transportation bill in Congress. And, you know, they've been unable to do that sort of thing in recent years. They keep doing short-term extensions and punting on the issue. And you know, no one expects anything different this time around. But, you know, it's a way for him to demonstrate that he supports transportation funding without having to sort of deal with the issue, the big issue in his backyard, which is the MTA and its funding problem.
Okay, that's the Highway Trust Fund that we had Congressman Crowley on last week, and we were talking about that for a while. So they're giving months in extensions as opposed to definite years, which is what's really needed, so you know what's happening up the road and you can budget properly.
Right, and it's also the issue for the Highway Trust Fund is that it's relying on the gas tax, and as cars have become more fuel efficient, you know, the revenue, the proceeds from the gas tax have declined. So it's actually not a particularly good way to be funding transportation anymore. So much as in Albany, there are all sorts of ideas for ways to supplement or replace the gas tax, like a vehicle miles travel tax or whatever. And it's, you know, it's not similar from what's happening in Albany in that none of these ideas are getting any traction.
And just to tell our listeners about the Highway Trust Fund, the expenses are $50 billion a year. The income due to fuel-efficient and hybrid vehicles now is about $34 billion a year. Let's take a call from Eugene on MTA funds. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening. Good evening. You sound better here than on the radio because we've got a lot of lightning static down here in Philadelphia. Dave, I've heard reports after reports after reports, always from the area of concern, whether it be in this city, other cities, state, whatever. It always says the same thing. We need billions, we need millions, whatever. Who besides the people that make up these reports ever verify any of that information that is correct? Because I would swear that a lot of it's got to do with padding of the bills, maybe by union people that work for, departments or whatever, so they can get in on the act. Who verifies that $14 billion is exactly what they need and to actually, check to see if the reports are right?
Well, Dana, you want to handle this? You say that they're pretty transparent.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are outside groups that, you know, like the Regional Plan Association, for example. I don't know if they have gone in and sort of audited the MTA's statements to see if it's correct, but they can certainly attest to the fact that the MTA has a multi-billion-dollar capital shortfall. So, I mean, there are outside groups that pay attention to this sort of thing, but you know, to a large extent, we do have to rely on the particular agency to be relatively honest about their needs. You know, they obviously have a built-in incentive to amplify their needs. But I think anyone who's taken a subway recently, you know, can testify that things aren't in such good shape.
Thank you for the question, Eugene. Bob, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, Dave? All right, I got something out here as far as transparency things go. I live in an area on the West Bay Branch, northeastern corner of Nassau County. And we are paying, every time we make a phone call, every time we say sales tax, money goes to the MTA. The only thing we've got up here is the railroad. But we're paying for transit services, which was taken out in 1975. We had a bus line up here. It's gone. There's no other public transportation. Now, the only thing, of course, is right now is taxes. That's it. Other than that, the people up here are stranded. And this is, again, this is going on 40-plus years. Where did the money go? Where's the transparency? And like the Second Avenue subway, where is the transparency?
Bob,
where did the money go?
Thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. You know, it's funny because they have the most creative finance team I've ever seen anywhere. I remember Mayor Bloomberg in his first month in office, he actually said, I have to figure out why the MTA has more accountants than the city of New York does. Then you never heard him talk about that again. But the fact is, if you're transporting gasoline, there's an MTA tax involved. Yes, phone bills, cable bills, they're MTA taxes. It's almost as though, if you're selling your house, there's an MTA tax. That goes direct to the MTA. And it doesn't make a difference if you have full services, but if it's within the reach of where the MTA, even the railroad, one track goes, you are going to be taxed to death by the MTA. That's my opinion. Do you have a different opinion, Dana?
Well, I think the theory behind having taxes in the MTA region is that if you live in a place that's serviced by an MTA railroad, then you are living within a regional economy that's dependent on sort of the health of New York City and its suburbs, and New York City's economy and its suburbs' economy is entirely reliant on the ability to move people around. You need a transportation system, a mass transportation system that works well. So, I mean, that's the argument. The argument is that everyone benefits, if not directly, then indirectly.
All right, let's take one more call. David, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic.
Okay, so basically I agree with Dana, and by the way, Dana, I have read a lot of your articles. The big problem with New York is we do need to expand our infrastructure in the subways, but the prices per mile and the general prices of how much these things cost are way out of line. Like, if you look in Europe, Japan, and Asia, and all the other countries, they're building, like, the Second Avenue subway, it's a little stub, cost, like, what, $5 billion? In Europe, you can get much larger projects for that. And, like, it's, that's a huge thing that no one seems to care about. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll just dump money on this. And it's, I support this infrastructure expansion, but at the same time, we can't just be spending all this money and getting almost nothing in return compared to what everyone else gets.
No, it's a, you're right. It's a big problem. I mean, you look at the Fulton Center, that came in twice as expensive as it was budgeted for and took about twice as long to East Side Access is a money pit. It's entirely true. So, you know, I mean, it's a big problem that is rarely looked into. I did do one story on it, and there is the theory that, you know, these transportation agencies routinely lowball the cost of these projects so that they can get them approved in the first place. But, I mean, even when you look on when you compare New York to Europe, I mean, you're completely right. It's an unexplored problem.
Dave, thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show and listening. You've been here with us on the Taxi Dave Show, me and Frank. Frank, I'm sorry. Did you want to add something?
You're asking all the right questions. I mean, I think Dana just said something that was really interesting, and that is, you know, maybe the MTA is kind of lowballing these projects just to kind of get, you know, get these things started or get the research work done, and then obviously, you know, because it's a, you know, they had this 5-year plan, and now all of a sudden we're $14 billion, and they figure, hey, you know what? We'll just keep asking for additional dollars. Dana, have you seen or have you heard, other than what's obviously going to be a delay in the Second Avenue subway, what are the major projects you see as kind of being getting delayed because of the additional funding needed?
Well, it's an interesting question, right? I mean, the Second Avenue subway, you still have to finish East Side Access, but if you cut off funding for East Side Access, then you delay the project and you might end up being on the hook to the feds for billions of dollars. So it doesn't seem like that's something that they can further delay. You know, you could delay, they have this project called Penn Station Access where they're going to build, they're basically going to allow Metro North to enter into Penn Station, and they're going to build four new stations for in the Bronx. They could cut that, but Governor Cuomo has made that a personal priority, so it's not, you know, so there are all these things that they can't really cut, which makes people worry that they're going to have to cut into State of Good Repair. But in addition to Second Avenue Subway, they can cut, you know, the MetroCard replacement system and countdown clocks and, you know, that sort of thing. The real worry, though, is that you're going to ultimately cut, if you go below $20 billion, you're going to cut into State of Good Repair. And that's, you know, keeping signals working and, you know, replacing train cars when you need to and that sort of thing.
On another note, I was talking about pedicabs. Can you believe that not one ticket has been written against a pedicab driver or owner in the first 4.5 months of this year?
Yeah, that was interesting. I saw that story. Commissioner Branton talked about the law. He basically said the law was poorly written. I haven't had a chance to look at the legislation, so I mean, I have no idea if that's true or not. But, you know, Branton also says that his forces are really stretched thin and he's asking for 1,000 new cops. So, you know, maybe it's a question of just not having the police resources to allocate to the issue. I have no idea.
Our guest has been Dana Rubenstein, the senior reporter at Capital New York. By the way, every politician in New York City and in New York State reads Capital New York and everything Dana has to write. So I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Okay, good. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. If it's clean, we'll read your email over the air. Stop laughing, Frank. You don't know what we get sometimes, folks. And we also have some other stories that we mentioned earlier in the show we'll touch on. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here.
You better run away. The Jews run away. Run away. The Jews run away. You better run away. The Jews run away. Run away. Run away. Run away. Run away.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
We all love our cities, don't we? This is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. It was very nice of her to open up about the MTA. I love talking about the MTA. You know, endless money, financial tentacles around the entire state, like an octopus. It's just amazing with the money that that flies around, and they're always broke. They always need more money. I don't know how you're going to, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. But I'm thankful that Dana Rubenstein was on the show. It sounds like JFK Mike is on the line. You're working, so let's take your call first. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Speaking of headlines, yes, I am working, and I'm at JFK. So it's a lot of cabs, and it's a lot of business. So, hey, Frank, what's happening?
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Listen, I was going to ask Dan, a great reporter, by the way, that I think the MTA should change their logo to Cuomo dressed like a pirate with a parrot on his shoulder saying, "We need more money." That would be a more believable logo.
Argy,
yeah. Because here's the thing, Davey, is that I'm driving a cab, and I get a lot of $10 and $12 fares with four people. In essence, we're almost charging less than the subway. And while we're charging less than the subway and the buses, we're also paying in a $2.50 surcharge, and we're also paying in a gas tax at the pump. So it's beyond me how the MTA is always broke. It's just it's amazing.
Well, for those of us who are married, we understand that. The MTA is the city's wife.
Yeah.
And or the city's husband, just to be fair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You, speaking of walking the plank, that's on you, brother. I didn't say anything.
That's right.
Listen, the other thing is, you had 50 million tourists. The city has 400,000 people working for the city of New York. You think we can get a couple of people to cut the grass on? Okay, they can't fix the Van Wyck. Could they at least cut the grass on the Van Wyck so that the tourists who are coming in, pumping in $50 billion at least per year, could
hey,
at least
Frank,
have a nice little stretch of highway?
Frank, I mean, you're closer to the beautiful Van Wyck Expressway. I didn't remember any tall grass. You see any tall grass out there?
I don't know about tall grass, but I agree with Michael in that the roads are a little unsightly. They may not be as pleasant around LaGuardia and JFK as they are in other cities, so good point. Maybe a couple of fake palm trees or something. You don't have to cut the grass. You dust them off. Something just to clean the, you know, you're coming into the city. You know, it's the greatest city in the world. You'd want to give a good, you know, a good presentation on the way in.
Yeah, man. Well, the last thing is, as Pop used to say, they with the Van Wyck, they don't call it the finishing business, my friends. They call it construction business. So, God help us. But anyway, guys, great show, and I'll see, and by the way, let's insure and register all the bicycles in New York City, because City Bike makes a profit at $125 a year membership. So I guess Monday morning, maybe de Blasio can do that. Take care.
All right. Thanks for calling in, JFK Mike. You know, it's interesting that there was a story here somewhere, I'll get it in a second, about City Bikes. They're going to be adding 1,000 more in New York City. immediately, and there'll be another 1,400 when Citibank expands its service later in the year into Brooklyn, Greenpoint, Williamsburg, Bed-Stuy, and also in Long Island City in Queens. That'll be the first time Citibank will be offered in Queens, will be Long Island City. So they're adding 2,400 bikes this year. And it's amazing. The old company was going bankrupt that ran it, and this company's adding more bikes and changing, you know, the seats and the kickstands, but they're not going broke yet. What could I tell you? I don't understand it. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Email address taxihale@AOL.com. Let's hear from Tom O'Connor. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How do you do, Dave? Okay. Tom O'Connor talking. 55 years driving the yellow taxi cab in the city of New York. And I find that at that time when I started driving, they were building the Second Avenue subway, and they must have filled it in a dozen times since then. That's strictly a political pump, generating a lot of money, and it turns out to be just dirt. You'll never see a Second Avenue subway. And another thing, the MTA, the taxi industry, each fare is taxed 50 cents, which goes to the MTA, and that runs into some big bucks. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but you're talking about millions of dollars a year that the taxi industry in the city of New York subsidizes the MTA. What the hell are they doing with all that money?
Spending it.
Oh, my God. Is that what they're doing? I think they're stealing it.
Okay. Well, we know we've had people on the show. We know they have nice artwork in the subway stations. We also know that if you are at a station that's very long, there's a lot of people movers, the moving walkways, and stations are being remodeled. They've bought a lot of new buses, subway cars. And I don't know. I guess, you know, you have the health care and the pensions with the unions and all that stuff.
But
that doesn't go down.
Still, the income that comes in there and all the revenue from different areas, the whole thing doesn't seem to balance out, Dave. There's definitely something the matter. It should be a major investigation into that particular authority.
I think, Tom, I want you to go over their books. I want the MTA to send Tom O'Connor their books so Tom can go over it. How long do you think that'll take you, Tom?
Now you're talking. Thank you, Dave. Have a nice evening.
All right. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show on WOR 710. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. And we're having a little bit of fun here. By the way, we are brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And we're broadcasting from the beautiful Melrose Studios. And look at that beautiful highway outside. My gosh, look at the palm trees. Look at the waterfalls. A beautiful Van Wyck Expressway. No highway is as beautiful as that anywhere in the world. Even the Pacific Coast Highway. Okay. Let's get serious for a second. I hear a phone ringing. Oh, that's interesting. The first yellow taxi accessibility drawing is going to be held on June 25th. And for those of you who don't know what that is, 50% of the yellow taxi industry has to become wheelchair accessible by 2020. That was in a judge's decision that Mayor Bloomberg agreed with the disabled community, who was suing, I believe, on the Taxi of Tomorrow because it wasn't wheelchair accessible. So all medallion owners entered into the drawing. If their medallion is chosen, they'll receive a letter detailing the results and what the next steps are. Okay, now the accessibility drawing is limited to those unrestricted individual medallions with vehicles that are scheduled to retire between January 1st, 2016 and December 31st, 2016. Okay, the medallions that are selected in the drawing will be required to replace an accessible vehicle into service when their current vehicle is retired. So it's taxi bingo, folks. I-24-B-7 or 2-B-6-7. if your medallion is chosen, you will now have an accessible medallion, which means that you will have to put an accessible vehicle on the road. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Okay, let's take a caller. Rob, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. So I'm a daily commuter into the city, and, you know, as much as I like Mayor Bloomberg overall, this idea of this city bike program is literally the silliest thing that happened in the city, just from a safety standpoint. So every single day, driving into the Lincoln Tunnel from 39th Street, just straight across town, you're contending with double-parked FedEx trucks, a million walkers, hot-dog carts ending for the day, the human, what do you call those, the guys who ride the bikes, the pedicabs, taxi drivers, etc. And not only is the program conceived poorly in the sense that people can ride anywhere, they don't wear helmets, the bikes are terrible, they're riding in suits and dresses, and they have no idea how to ride a bike in the first place, but many of the places where the bike racks exist are actually adjacent to major arteries to get in and out of tunnels and in and out of major choke points. And I just can't understand it. And on top of all that, you know, they basically took two-lane roads and turned them into one-lane roads by just painting, you know, a bike lane down the left side, none of which the bikers actually use. So it's amazing to me that there's this idea that suddenly New York could be turned into Amsterdam, when it was a very poorly designed city for pretty much anything overall. And even though I support biking and being outside in the rivers, they've done a beautiful job with the walkways and what have you, you know, why can't there be a moratorium, you know, 14th Street to 59th Street or something like that, at least during the day? It's absolute mayhem in the streets. I've driven in Rome and in Bangkok, which are supposed to be two of the worst cities in the world to drive in, and it's actually harder to go in a straight line in New York City. It's incredible. Every single day. And about a week ago, you had somebody on talking about pedestrian deaths, and God knows, you know, the mayor's blathering on about a few hundred people that get hurt every year. From my perspective, almost 100% of the accidents that occur are really pedestrians' fault. It's actually made me personally a much more respectful pedestrian because they dart out of cars, they walk up the sidewalk, they challenge the red lights, et cetera, et cetera. It's unbelievable that more people don't get hurt in New York.
Are you saying they have a sense of entitlement?
Well, that would be a nice way of putting it, Dave. When I'm in the car alone, I say a lot more than that. But the city bike, the city bike in general is just so poorly conceived, and the bikes themselves are not equipped, and the people who ride them are not equipped, and there are just too many other vehicles anyway, even if it was a good idea. So I don't know. And then, you know, you just look where the bike racks are located, and some of them are in the worst possible spots, and I wonder, the people who get their urban planning degrees, like, where did they get them? Because I don't have one, and I could have laid it out better than they do.
Well, Frank, you want to chime in here?
I mean, there were some phenomenal points being made. And listen, first and foremost, you're right. We all need to become, you know, better pedestrians, and I'm guilty myself of darting out and, you know, stepping off a train or coming out and just kind of crossing the street and, you know, crossing when I shouldn't be. So I agree. I think we all really need to take a moment and look at ourselves, and we need to be better pedestrians first and foremost, because we're only contributing to the problem. And I am absolutely guilty. And it's brutal. But you're right. You know what? You've got the city bikes out there. Okay, are they for recreational use, or do they want commuters now to use them as a means of getting from point A to point B? In which case, you're right. People need to learn how to ride a bike. Riding a bike in a suit may not be the most, you know, comfortable method of all, but I see people doing it, and I don't know how they're actually riding from point A to point B, you know, in a suit or in a dress or a pair of dress pants. It's tough, and there needs to be some type of regulation or something for, you know, again, is it going to be purely recreational, in which case put the bikes by parks, put them along waterways, and that's strictly going to be what the use is. But when you're putting them, you know, in major arteries, then now you're creating a problem. You're creating a very dangerous situation.
I still can't believe they closed off Park Avenue at 41st Street to put in a bike rack. I mean, they closed the road, you know, and that was an important road to get onto 42nd Street. They just closed it to put a bike rack there, you know, and they never change things. It's never changed. Once it's done, it's permanent. They say, oh, it's a pilot. Yeah, it's not a pilot. It's a permanent pilot.
It'll take an act. It would take an act of God to get that reversed. There's no way. It's like the priorities are messed up. Wouldn't you want to increase and improve the flow of traffic so that people can get from point A to point B, trucks can make deliveries, people could do business, generate some revenue for the city? No, let's close roadways down and make what roadways we do have smaller so fewer cars can go down conveniently with less aggravation.
And Rob made a good point also. You know, you have two-lane roads that are now one lane. Because of the bike lanes, if there aren't pedicabs parked there.
Can I tell you guys, I said it before, but it is amazing. I really feel like back in the old days there was the game Frogger where you had to avoid all the traffic. That's what I feel like driving in a straight line across town. Pedicabs, hot dog carts being walked down the middle of the street with no regard for traffic, pedestrians galore, right? City bikes, double parked trucks. You know, car. It's unbelievable to just drive 7 or 8 blocks in a straight line, especially in the afternoon in the city.
See, it wouldn't be so bad comparing us to Amsterdam if we had the same smoking laws here as they do in Amsterdam. Then we wouldn't care.
But you want to calm down about the traffic then.
Listen, then you'd have a reason for cars not being able to go down a straight line in the city.
Yeah. All right. Rob, thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I appreciate it. Okay. From Sue John. Hi, Dave. How are you? Uber's trying to register yellow and green accessible cabs, as many as they could. But my question, if a disabled person asks for a black car service, what option do they get from Uber? Yellow and green instead? No black car accessible service. Thank you, Sue John. Okay. Hey, Taxi Dave, are you a medallion owner? No, I'm not. I do not own a medallion at this time. This is from Steve. How many city bikers are getting stopped by NYPD and summons? Yellow cab drivers are on that list every day. Thanks a lot, Steve. Oh, from a regular listener, Mr. Chavelle. Hello, David. The way the MTA should charge the public according to their yearly income, the more money a person makes, they should pay more. Okay. As an idea. So everybody has an opinion. That's pretty good. And here's one from Mike. I don't know the answer to that question, so I'm not going to read it. When we come back, we have some more news to talk about. And, New York City is projected to get a $3 billion surplus for this year, for 2015. That's pretty interesting, huh? And if you're looking to retire, Frank, you're not going to believe the worst city in the country, okay, where you don't want to retire. I have the top 10 best and the top 10 worst. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And Taxi Dave will be right back. You're a mess, Mississippi. Champagne from the blue. Or a taste of your elegant pot. Or maybe going to hell in a bucket, babe. But at least I'm enjoying the ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride. Ride, 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 ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I got the paranoia blues. I'm knocking around in New York City. Well, they roll you for a nickel and they stick you for the extra dime.
The City Council passed a bill that would require the Office of Administrative Trials and Hearings, also known as OATH, which includes taxi tribunals, to issue monthly reports on violations that are dismissed in its tribunals. There's one bill that was passed in New York City and in both houses up in Albany. Yes, there was some stuff that was passed this month. 3262 requires the Commissioner of Motor Vehicles, when processing reports of accidents filed, to give priority to reports involving serious physical injury or death. Wouldn't you think that already happens? Huh? They had to pass a law for that? Okay. 4310. This law was passed by both houses. It requires the annual reporting of criminal activity on subways. Nobody reported the crimes on subways? I don't understand. We needed a law for that, too. And another law, 6325, directs the New York City Transit Authority and the MTA to report to the governor and legislature on service reductions and eliminations. Okay. The best and worst, well, let's just talk a little bit about this $3 billion, because New York was in dire straits not too long ago. And now, the controller is projecting a $3 billion surplus for 2015. And that's fueled by higher-than-expected tax collections. They're going to reach $51 billion. It's $2.4 billion more than they actually had expected in New York City. And during the past 12 months, you should know that the city's reached new labor agreements with about 80% of the workforce. Except the city has not reached new agreements with the unions representing the police officers, the firefighters, and the correction officers. Let's take a call. Jim, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard you on the radio, my friend. I'm a longtime New Yorker, but I live upstate. So
where upstate?
I live in rural Montgomery County, so outside Albany. I'm fascinated by your MTA discussion tonight. I've been driving up into Central Jersey from Philly tonight and listening to you on the radio. My thought is this. I'm a road lawyer. I travel on business. Spent a lot of time, of course, staying in New York City over the years and many other metropolitan areas across the United States. And on the vast majority of hotel bills, as I'm checking out, there's a whole variety of different little fees that get tacked on. You know, in New York City, there's the Javits Center fee. Why don't they just throw another fee onto the hotel bills and make a tourist pay for it?
What is it, an 18% tourist tax already on the hotel bills?
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, being an upstater and hearing the fact that my taxes, the gas tax is going to go up again in order to fund the MTA, and I very, very rarely use the MTA. You know, that's the only thing that sort of, you know, changed my battle.
Do you think people who make a lot of money in New York City should bear part of the brunt?
Yes. I like that millionaire tax idea. I don't see any problem with that at all.
And you think that the tourists on hotel bills, what about the tourists who stay at their friends' houses? So it's just the hotels?
Well, I mean, what sort of taxes are levied? I'm going to show my ignorance here. What sort of taxes are levied on the actual fares that are paid? Increase the tax rate, increase whatever taxes are paid on the actual fares themselves.
It's unbelievable. You know, Mike from JFK actually mentioned it. You know, you have a situation where taxi drivers are paying the gas tax. They're paying 50. The passengers are paying 50 cents to the MTA on every fare. And by the way, that averages about $80 million a year from the yellow industry. Plus the green cars do the same thing.
Yep.
Phone bills, cable bills, gasoline transport. I mean, you name it, you know, housing sales, private home sales. There's always MTA fees on everything. So, you know, Jim, hey, maybe you're right. Maybe the thing to do is to add a tax to hotels. Would you like that, Frank?
No. I vote no on that one. Listen, my hotel bills are big enough as they are. And you're right. You look at your, when you really look at your hotel bill and you walk yourself through the taxes, depending on what city you're in, it's the taxes and local fees and state fees and everything else are probably, again, depending on the city, loose figure, almost 30% of what the room rate is.
Well, that and rental cars also. I mean, the rental car, you know, what do they call it, the franchise recovery fees and all of the little taxes that get thrown onto those. Hey, you know, I've been on the road for 15 years now. And, you know, I can't...
Without stopping? Let me ask you something real quick, Jim.
Yeah.
What's the best city to retire in that you've seen, that you think?
You know where I want to retire? I want to retire where my mom is, and that is Northern California, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, anywhere Marin... well, no, she's in Santa Rosa. So
oh, very nice.
Sonoma County.
I'll go visit her. Folks, we're not on next week. By the way, Jim, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and participating. We're not on next week, folks, because the Mets have a late game. But we will be on live from San Francisco the following week. 2 weeks. That's right. The Taxi Dave Show live from San Francisco. The worst city to retire in, New York City. The best city to retire in, Phoenix, Arizona. Okay. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank our callers. Frank, thank you. And I got to go now. Hey, taxi!
This has been a podcast from WOR.